You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's going on? I'm Peanut. This is my guy, Rome, and this is the NFL Player Second Acts podcast. I actually called you Roman this time. I should have called you.
It's good. I'm Roman. Thank you. We can just keep it going. I'm going to be getting called a regular name today.
This is the pastor that's going to preside over my funeral right here. I like the pastor outfit you got going on.
I am dressed. We're in New York, so
you can't see his pants.
I'm walking the streets.
You can't see his pants right now.
I'm not going to show him either. So anyways, look. Anywhere you listen to your podcast at, first and foremost, we always want to thank you for our listeners, our viewers. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Give us a rating, a review, 5 stars. I'm telling you, I'm not asking you. 5 stars. And wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts or iHeart Music Radio, please give us a link. Hit follow. Let's do that. Peanut, who is our guest today?
An oldie, but a goodie. I got to read his resume because it's like 15 years worth of
things. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of, yeah, let me just get to it. Undrafted in 2005, went to Cal, went to Carolina in 05. He's made 2 Pro Bowls, was the defensive MVP in 2016. Mm-hmm. Got him a car out of that.
Yes, sir.
He
paid the taxes on that?
Okay. Yeah. He was made second team All-Pro in 2016, was the Buffalo Bills Walter Payton Man of the Year recipient or nominee 3 times. His nickname is One Man Gang because he is his hard-nosed play and his versatility, and now he's doing amazing things with his foundation through ACES with flag football. Ladies and gentlemen, the most interesting man in the world, Lorenzo Alexander.
Appreciate that, fellas. Appreciate that.
I like the cowl. You got the. I like the shirt. Yeah, I got that same shirt.
Okay.
The cowl hat and everything.
Yeah, it's a little custom. You know, I was in Buffalo for a while. That's where New Era is. So I got some people over there that kind of made me a one of a kind hat. So
that's what's happening. I realized New Era's out of Buffalo.
Yeah.
Lorenzo, you just turned 40.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How's life, man? I saw your Instagram post too, and I just got to be honest. Your birthday post to yourself, beautiful wife, amazing family. But the interception, bro. You ain't had to do that.
You did not. That was bad.
First of all, it was a great break. Great break. Came right over the middle. Didn't even hesitate. Bob picked that thing off. Old man quarterback definitely was staring it down.
Right.
Boom. Picked it off.
It was.
Then you had to drag the boy for the last 3 yards, though.
You spun on him, too.
Yeah, and everybody looked at him.
I like really enjoy playing those type of games because I'm technically a big man at heart. So when I came out, I was 315 pounds of D tackle.
Yeah,
so I've been a big man.
We want to get into that.
Oh yeah, so we can talk about that. So anytime I get to be athletic and play DB, I'm going all out and giving you everything because Prime was my favorite player growing up.
Yeah, as he was everybody else.
So like you said, you went undrafted.
Yeah.
Out of college, out of Cal, you were 6'1", 315 pounds. Yeah. Over 300 pounds coming out of Cal. I didn't even realize you played defensive tackle until
right.
I was looking up your bio and stuff. And so internally, you know, you don't get drafted. You thought you were going to be a mid-round guy. You don't get that call. Why do you not stop? What says, you know what, because you can take it either
right.
way.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Why do you not stop?
You still say, well, I'm good, right? They don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get out there, you work out. You know, I was in Carolina, as we mentioned. I had some good mentors down there. I was down there with Julius Peppers, Brixton Buckner, Mike Rucker.
Yeah.
Mike.
So it's just
really
good
D-line. Yeah. That's what they were known for.
Yeah. That was Morgan, so that's one of the reasons why I picked to go there as an undrafted guy. Let me learn from these guys that was playing a 4-3, had just come off of maybe a Super Bowl berth either that year or the year prior. So just a really good organization. And so get down there. They had drafted another guy, Tia Ellison, and Jovan Hay might have been the other D lineman in our draft class. And, you know, you practice and you can see that, you know, I can do what they do, right? I can fit in him. Maybe not what Pep does, but you know,
he's in that league of his own.
Yeah. Maybe not what he can do, but everybody else, okay, I can see myself in them and maybe playing, you know, and how they play. And then you hear people or coaches talking, and then you learn about some of the things that are out of your control as a football player.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
A guy going down another position, or we drafted this guy, so we want to give him a shot. You're only 6'1". You know, things I can't change, yeah, but right. You're a good football player.
Yeah.
And so going through some of that stuff, being cut, being released, I guess ultimately I knew that I could play because I was out there with those boys playing and making plays. And then I also had my mom and my uncle that were really the foundation, because at one point after I got away from Carolina, I did think about quitting, because that flying back and forth when you are a free agent.
We were East Coast guy.
If you go on, like I was in Cali, right? And then fly out to Baltimore, fly out to Minnesota.
Just for a workout.
And not get signed. And I'm a Cal dude. I'm like, man, I'm about to go get my master's or something. I'm not doing this. This is not my life. So, but they encouraged me to keep going. And then I actually got really lucky when I got to Washington, had a workout with them, and they actually chose another guy during the workout, but he pulled his hamstring and I got on that way and never looked back ever since.
So what did you really learn? What did that teach you though, going from team? Cause I know we literally talked about that. I was like, man, he went from team to team and to go, and you're living in this hotel.
It's really tough being that 54th, 55th guy on a roster.
That's a lot of stress.
Well, not only that, but Peanut and I ran 140, bro. That was like coming out.
You're right.
You go to tryout, you're running. Right. You got different coaches looking at you for just a couple minutes.
Yep.
And you have to go through this process over and over and over again.
It's
and
like not only that, but then workout all the time.
But not only that, but then get told no.
Right.
Yeah. And that has to really wear on your mind, your confidence, because you got to be confident to play ball.
Yep.
And so how do you continue to do that? How do you continue to grind? And also, I also read a story that you kept a pair of cleats. Like, did you really just, cleats was just in the bag all the time?
You just never know. But when I look back at it, I actually had a boy that was, we had a frat house, that's what I called when I was in Washington, Burrow Toler. He would come in, they would switch between him and another guy, offensive lineman, every week.
Up and down, cut.
He would leave, then he'll come right back, and he'd be like, "We had like the third guy in our apartment because we were sharing an apartment."
Yeah,
you know, trying to save money back then. So for me, it's crazy. I look back that my journey as far as being on that kind of circuit really wasn't that long.
Yeah.
Might have been like 5 weeks where I was like really just coming off the couch to see if I could get on a team, and I was able to catch on with Washington, you know, by God's grace. But I think that's really what it was. I had great mentorship at every place that I was at, whether it was London Fletcher when I was in Washington or Brenton Buckner when I was in Carolina. Those guys really showed me what hard work looked like. I was in Baltimore for like 3 or 4 days and saw Ray Lewis like up close personal, right? I'm like, oh, this is why this dude is great. This is his work ethic, right? You get to get around greatness. And so for me, it was a great learning experience because I saw where I wasn't working, where my shortcomings were, where I thought I was doing something, but like, man, you ain't working if you want to be on this level and hold down this type of job and, you know, deal with all the pressures. But it mainly came down to me understanding I only can control what I can control, and I can't worry about all the other stuff because I used to get migraine headaches and be stressing and over stuff that I can't even do nothing about.
Right.
So I just had some real good wisdom from some older guys kind of telling me how to, you know, let some of that stuff go as best you can.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the three of us, we have been truly blessed with having long careers. And I think we all know that the NFL is you're here today and you're gone tomorrow. And it's super quickly. And I've had some great moments. I know you've had some great moments. We had some great times. 15 years, that's a long time, bro. Like what was one of your proudest moments of your career?
Wow.
Out of 15 years.
I mean, there's a ton. I would say the Walter Payton is probably the one that stands out amongst the rest.
That's really cool because you get the insignia on your jersey.
I never actually won the award. I'll tell you a little funny story. My last year, typically they give it to guys on their way out or late in the year, They want to see some maturation. My star was never as bright as some other guys. I was kind of right there, always like a high-end blue-collar guy. But we were at I think it was in Miami my last year, 2019. We're sitting there. This was the first time they actually had asked, because you won it, right?
I have won it.
Yeah. Asked me like, hey, you know, what would you say? Let's talk about a couple of speeches. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to be sitting? Make sure that you're in your seat, right? And so, you know, it's like two or three other guys they're doing that with the finalists. And then they open it up and say, this man comes from humble beginnings. And me and my wife kind of get ready to so you can stand up when they say your name. Calais Campbell. I said, oh, you know, he just kind of just shut down inside. But Calais is a great guy as well. I was somebody there. But that was kind of like funny as far as me, because I had been a nominee four times prior to that, and that was my fifth time. And I was retiring.
Calais was a first round pick, wasn't he?
No, I think he was a second round pick. But Calais, I never knew he was, went to Miami, but I didn't know Calais was, he was homeless when he grew up.
Oh, I didn't know that. Like, right, really talking about the real humble beginnings.
Yeah. It was like, oh, man, that's real right there. I didn't have to deal with that.
I didn't know that either.
Right, so it was just that kind of stuff. But that, I think just being around those guys, I've gotten to know a lot of them, play with a lot of guys. Thomas Davis is another guy I played with. Who's actually in the same draft class in Carolina, or same rookie class. I didn't get drafted.
Same thing.
Yeah, right. So just a lot of those different guys. It's not.
I'm trying to help him out.
I'm trying to help guys. Yeah, so just different guys like that throughout my career. London had won it one year as well. Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald. So I've been fortunate to play with a lot of these dudes and get to know them and who they are and how impactful they are in the locker room, and then more importantly in the community. And coming from Oakland, single mom, you know, my dad wasn't around. My uncle stepped in. So to be able to give back to the community that way and be recognized by your teammates, it was the coolest thing. Because every locker room I was ever in, our teammates voted for that guy. So to be recognized by them, because they're going to tell you the truth, you know, as far as you are, what you're doing. And so to be recognized by them was really cool.
Yeah, the award has come a long way. I know since winning it, when I won it back in 13, I was the Bears nominee a couple times, and what they've tried to do with the award and the money that they've raised.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've
it's significant.
Done, it's a significant it's amount. Significant. Yeah. From when I did it to when Thomas Davis, when he won it.
Right.
Like, compared to what it is right now, like, they are doing some amazing things.
Even just to be nominated by your team is a significant amount of money to your foundation.
For sure.
Right? And correct. So, like,
They didn't used to do that.
It was like 10 grand, I think. Maybe early, maybe even when you won it, they didn't even do
that. They didn't even do that.
Like earlier on, I would get like a $10,000 stipend, which is great money to get back to the community, put on the event.
Yeah.
And then by the end, it was like up to $50,000 because you would split it with the local United Way, and then the winner would get $500,000. And his
this is like life changing, right? For a lot of
people,
And just so people know, like the player doesn't get that money. That money goes toward the player's foundation. That's what I make sure,
right?
We, we throw it out there.
Yeah, the program.
We ain't getting
right
that money.
Nah, it's going impact.
100% charity.
So, so Lorenzo, man. So I didn't really recognize all of the hoops and the things that you went through in your career early, right, to get where you are. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't realize you were a D lineman, a D tackle. Right, I only recognized you when you were doing, like, the special teams, you were balling out in Washington, and then later on in Buffalo when you were really the starting outside line. I thought that was who you were your whole career.
Same. I had no idea. I was like, D tackle?
Yeah.
315.
No idea.
Where did I come from?
I have to share this as I looked up more and more stuff on you, is that, so as you started to trim down, all right, you're in Washington, Shanahan's got you playing offensive line, tight end, fullback, and D lineman at times. You're mostly a special teams guy. And they're like, okay, we're going to 3-4. We need you to get down.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm whatever it takes.
Right.
One man gang, I got it, right?
Yeah, Fred Smoot, by the way. Give a shout out to Fred Smoot. He gave me that nickname.
One of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. Yeah. I forget Fred Smoot's his rap album he released one time. Oh my God.
That was funny.
Anyways, but shout out to Fred Smoot. Good dude. And, that's my boy. Smoot. And then all of a sudden, but
one rap.
You got on P90X. That is the most taboo thing I ever heard. But like,
what was
that's
the dude's
what you
name?
Did.
That was even, I can't remember his name.
He had the dark hair, white dude.
But the fact
that
you
like in the beginning.
Implemented some of that into like your workout to just get down.
Yeah, riding, started cycling.
Yeah.
I mean, I did some like MMA kind of grappling because we had a guy that used to do something that had a gym and guys would do Eddie Mason. He had a gym out in Virginia. And so I would do all those things. But to your point, it actually started with Joe Gibbs, man. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about old school football coach, and most of these young cats don't even understand what football used to be like in the early, you know, 90s, 2000s. And Joe Gibbs goes all the way back to 70s.
Yeah.
Right. And so just a different mindset of dude. And so, like, my hardest days were like probably with Joe Gibbs. And that's really what I think my foundation football-wise got set as far as the league. You know, padded practices on Fridays, hit them right in the chin, live drills. I mean, it's just different, crazy,
old school.
Right? Yeah, old school mindset. But during that time is really where it came where I was on practice squad, and I tell people that was my hardest years because I literally took every single rep that you possibly could take in practice. So offensive look, defensive look, special teams. I did not come out. I got, I'm like, what is this? My man Rock Cartwright was like, man, this is how we work here. I'm like, man, this is crazy. But that's really how they saw me, right? How they saw me. Yeah, he's a good golfer. Yeah. It really showed them that I could be multidimensional. I could play some offensive line and hold my own with some of the starters and then be on special teams. Even though I was big, I was coming down. I could understand the concepts. I was always chasing Danny Smith around. Hey, man, put me on something because, you know, for young guys, hey, you get that special teams coach to put you out there, show out. You can at least kind of maybe secure. He'll stand on the table for you.
Yeah,
so it started being in the wedge. And then I remember one game.
The wedge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, see. Yeah, I'm telling you, football is different.
So for people that don't know what the wedge is, on kick return, you would get like the four biggest guys.
Yep.
They would lock arms like this and create a wall. And then if you were the
wedge buster.
L5, L4, L5 on kickoff, your job was just to run down and split the wedge, hit the guy in the chin.
Right, like exactly.
That, oh, my God.
Sometimes the two would have
so
to,
many
like,
concussions
set an edge
from that.
On the wedge guy.
Right, it, once in a while. Yeah, I like the little while. Two come down and try to scale. Ooh, I couldn't wait for that guy. Act like you don't
so
see him.
I
don't see you. I see you.
A big dude. Them wedge busters. Y'all was crazy.
Yeah, so doing that. And then eventually it's transitioned. I was 295 running down on kickoff at the three and running through the wedge.
Three's definitely a wedge buster. Yeah. That's definitely hitting it.
So it just evolved over time. And so as they saw me do multiple things, Shanahan eventually got there, saw me covering on kicks and felt like I could play in space. And so over those maybe 3 to 4 years, I would just lose like 10 to 15 pounds, P90X. When I got married, I stopped drinking. Riding bikes, just a ton of different things, cross training that really helped me lose that weight incrementally over my last 3 or 4 years in Washington.
All right, and you know, as you were going through all of that, I want to get to one thing that's kind of serious, and I thought it was very vital. I'm a man of faith, and so could you maybe just share with the listeners and the viewers, all right, how you spoke about when after Sean Taylor's death, how it really changed you? And it's like, you know what, at this point, I'm giving my life. You really focused and you gave your life to the Lord.
So we already had guys that were kind of working on me. You know, you think about James Thrash, Antoine Randall, another buddy that's more my age, Kedrick Golston. Just a lot of good brothers, men of faith, that were not only talking in the locker room about it, you know, in their Bibles, but were living it out when you would go out or go over to their houses with their families. Yeah. There's something different about them. Mm-hmm. Pastor Brett Fuller was our team chaplain, had already kind of been talking to me going to chapels. And when Sean passed, I think that thing just kind of, he just kicked me over the edge because we were the same age. Mm. And you look up, you know, when you're playing ball, you feel like, okay, I'm invincible. Can't nothing stop me. I can do whatever I want to do. And that really, I mean, knocked everybody kind of back a little bit as far as, you know, a guy that was here one day and not there the next day.
Here and great.
Right. Great. Oh, yeah. Great. And was actually, as a man, was making a lot of strides from a maturity standpoint. Had just had his daughter. My wife now is really close with, was really close with his fiance, Jackie, and just getting to know their family a little bit. But just seeing that process, and then he couldn't finish it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. To really become great on and off the field and become the man that he wanted to be was just abruptly stopped. Yeah. And so I already had that working for me and as far as like where I was leaning to, as far as people around me and not feeling, I was playing ball, making money, but I was feeling empty and I didn't know what that was. And just watching those guys and then seeing Sean pass really pushed me towards Christ and giving my life up and really trying to pursue him every day since then, back in 2008. So, you know, obviously that's a life walk. You're never there.
Right, right.
But definitely trying to continue to cultivate myself, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, discipline, trying to make sure I am breathing, living those things every day, not only for myself, but my wife and my kids, and then my community.
Hold on, hit that one more time. How many of those games?
It's a lot of them. Yeah, 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 look at them. So, sometimes you forget a couple of them, though, right? hold on, Pat, pass them. I think you missed a couple.
I told you.
Yeah, love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, yeah, gentleness, and discipline. Sound mind. I think it's 7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it. Okay. Right. I'm good. All right.
I want to
make sure we get
this.
One more.
Check all the boxes.
Yeah,
check all the boxes.
That's it.
So I know when I retired, certain coaches or whatever, like, hey, can you talk to a player?
Right.
Talk to this player. Just mentor him. Ask him a couple questions. And I feel like we have a wealth of knowledge about the game of football, mm-hmm, and I kind of know that's something you're doing right now. You know, mentoring, yeah, other players, because you have so much knowledge about what you did right, what you did wrong,
yeah,
and the people that helped you along that way when you first started. So can you talk about how just kind of what you're doing now and mentoring some of these athletes?
Yeah, so the cool thing about when you play a long time, you just play with a ton of guys. Yeah. Guys you forget about, man. Like, yeah, man, I played with you. Like, dang, man. Or you have at least, you know, 1 degree of separation, or you have a connection, yeah, point. And so, you know, obviously the later in my career, being that mentor in the locker room and helping guys, young guys come in, or even some veteran guys at some times, try to figure out what life is all about, was something that was always on my heart as far as serving, you know, the men in our locker room.
Yeah.
And so transitioning out, having been part of the NFLPA's executive committee and sitting on the board as a rep multiple times, it was like almost like a seamless transition to now work with guys as they transition out, mm-hmm, and having building a relationship with Tracy Perman over, yeah, the years, being part of the Man of the Year, because that's one of her initiatives, mm-hmm, that she works over as well. Had a couple of conversations and went to the welcome, Legends Welcome, like when you retire, they bring you in. Mine was kind of weird because right after COVID. It was supposed to be in 2020, but it got pushed back. But went in, was talking to her and Laura, and they was like, man, you need to be a community coordinator. I was like, yeah, yeah, cool. Because I was trying to see if I wanted to be a PA, player director, one, yeah, of those guys that come in to help you, like, figure out the business. But this really, you know, kind of fit what I wanted to do as far as having time with the family, but more importantly, be able to impact the guys, because, yeah, this is where a lot of guys struggle at.
And fall through the cracks.
Yeah, and because it's hard. It's hard for anybody. I mean, most people go through transition, right? But you can still maybe find a job that you were in or, mm-hmm, a field that you love to do. I mean, there ain't nowhere else you're going to go play ball at a high level. I mean, you can go out to the park like I do on Thanksgiving, right? Have a couple of INTs, you know, a couple of TDs, you know, pick sixes, maybe hit a guy on accident. You know, yeah, what I mean? You can do that. But it ain't the same, right? You don't have the community, the locker room, that feel. And so being a part of a guy's journey and just really helping them understand that they are equipped to do anything that they want to do in life. And I think a lot of guys are stopped by fear and anxiety, mm-hmm, and that gap of, I don't know because I haven't done it, mm-hmm, not realizing that the game has cultivated a lot of things in them that are transferable to anything you want to do. Just a lot of guys just don't see it, right? And that's just how we've been conditioned since we were whatever age you started playing sports, that being accountable, being disciplined, being humble or coachable, you know, excellent has been just around that sport, and you haven't had to really apply it in other areas. And so, mm-hmm, I went back and got my master's in life coaching to maybe help guys, you know, kind of see some of that stuff a little bit differently, because a lot of it's just reframing,
yeah,
helping them see it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Right, that you can still be impactful in life, because that's what you were on the football field. You're part of a team, going out there, doing your job at a high level, having camaraderie. You can build that in other spaces. It's going to feel a little different. It's going to look different, but you can still serve and have a purpose-driven life in another area without ball.
Man, that's beautiful. And we need more people like you saying that to other guys as they're starting to transition. We've done some of these other interviews the last couple of days. Like, same conversation.
Right.
And it's all the time, and there is no perfect answer for it either.
So
it really, figuring this out, hearing it more and more by every different person or, mm-hmm, guy, makes me feel like, you know, I think we really are serving more people, and more people need to continue to hear this, because this is a true a true feeling, a true statement, and it's understood by all of us, not just a few of us,
right,
who actually struggle or go through certain things or might not be figuring it all out. So I appreciate that.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be back in a minute.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now I want to ask you another thing about something you're very passionate about, and that's your foundations with ACES, mm-hmm, and how you have partnered up with the NFL and the flag football,
yeah,
and how big it's gone. I've seen the flag football league in my area here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and how it's blowing up. I'm signing my son up. He's going to play next year. So we're going to see how this thing goes.
How old is he?
He's 7.
Oh, okay, man, and you want to fly him out to Phoenix every weekend?
Bro, if he's going to get coached up,
you know what I mean?
If he's going to get coached up,
he's always
going to get coached up now. I coach him hard now.
That's what I want. And so it's funny because, you know, I'm always like, all right, when am I going to let him play? And right. And growing up, we were not told like flag football has any type of.
That wasn't even an option.
It was not even.
You didn't want to play football
at the park, and, or yeah, you could play. Yeah, or yeah.
There was no. There's not even an option.
Right.
All you're doing is making them soft.
Yeah.
And now seeing it, the benefits of flag football, and I want to let you talk about most of them, but I see it because you learn how to play in space.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that we do in practice every day, which is learn how to play the game of football without the contact to keep us healthy.
Right.
It's another way to learn the angles, the way the ball moves, plays, concepts. Please jump into it.
You just said everything. You said you're going to leave it for me. That's everything right there.
There's still a little bit of meat on that bone.
It's a great space to be in. I have two boys. I actually have a daughter as well that's a freshman that's playing high school flag football.
I hope my wife hears that.
Right, because it's a sanctioned sport now. Yes, depending on what state you're in, it's a high school. Like ours is an Arizona Athletic Commission, they have it. And some NAI schools have scholarships. Mama want to hear
already
that.
Out there. There we
right,
go.
There you go. Some
free
school
money.
Yeah. And so in a couple of years, we hopefully some of these D1s, right? Yeah. You know, SEC. So why wouldn't they do it? You know, the women.
They give them the video games.
Right? Yeah. So that's a growing sport. So I've loved being in it, understanding all of the ramifications that comes from playing a collision sport like football, right? The concussions, especially when we played the first and even probably towards the end of my career because I was already conditioned. You running back out there after you've seen some black spots.
Oh,
it didn't
matter.
Smelling salts. No, I'm good. Don't come check me. Where's my helmet at? You know, I'm about to go right back out there.
I can tell you what the day is.
Right. Yeah.
I know where I'm at.
All that stuff that you kind of, you know, kind of remember so you can get back out there. To be able to protect my son, but still allow him to play a game that he saw me play, as well as my daughter to be coming to the locker room. That's one thing people, you going to let your son play? I say, yeah, I'm just going to push it down the road because I didn't play until high school. So to your point, I think that's allowed me to play 15. I don't know. Yeah. How many did you get in?
I got 13.
13.
I got 11.
11, yeah. I don't know if I could have played, and I'm still mad at Joe Gibbs because I think he took a couple of years off my career.
Early.
That hard. If I'd have had more football earlier, I don't know if I would have played 15 because it just gets hard on the back end. So, but just saving your body so that you don't have to deal with some of even like the soft tissue injuries in addition to the head or the concussions that you want to kind of limit. Because football, I tell my son all the time, he's nipping at me every day. He's 13. He's going into the 7th grade. I want to play. I'm going to let him play next year. Mm-hmm. So he has a little 1 year before high school.
I did 8th grade.
Yeah. I'm
first
gonna give
time
him,
I put pants
just to on. Give him a little feel for it so you're not getting knocked around. But it's a hard game. It's not like I kind of like it. I'm going to get out there and play like baseball, basketball. So I'm trying to save him from himself because he really doesn't know. And he complaining working out with me. He's like, it's 100 degrees. I'm like, you're going to be having a helmet and shoulder pads in this in another year or so. You're not going
to
be complaining then.
Trying to get him right.
Right. So just get him to understand. But the flag football is allowed him to kind of play it, be a part of it, and then learn all those concepts you was talking about, which is going to be beneficial. You know, playing the space, evading people trying to pull your flag, moving your feet. Hand-eye coordination. I mean, just all the things outside of the contact The only thing that's different, obviously, is 5-on-5. And so as a coach, I have to start teaching principles of this is what it actually is going to look like, yeah. right, versus 5-on-5. But you can still do all the man-to-man and cover 2 concepts and cover 3 concepts with 5-on-5. You just have to be a little creative.
Yeah.
And so it's gotten them to understand. So they'll at least have some type of experience and knowledge of have being out there. And so it's been beneficial. I mean, and it's really grown, and it's a lot of fun. It's very competitive, too.
Well, I think it's huge. Football is the one sport that in America you can start late and still be great at it.
Right.
If you got the size, the ability, like we can find a spot
for
you.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? And the mentality, right? Because it's not as skillful as like baseball, basketball.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to your son. I saw him on Instagram hit that opposite field home run too. Lead
off. Oh yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's Cooperstown. You know,
yeah. That's pretty big time as well. Cool, yeah. So yeah, this got to be cool as a father seeing your son shine in anything.
Yeah, he's way better than I ever was. He's way better.
And it's really cool to I started playing football in 4th grade. And so you can guys, like you said, you started in high school. And you hear these stories, and I didn't know it because I started so young. Mm-hmm. Peanut started.
I was 8th grade.
8th grade. Yeah. And you guys still played and played longer than I did. So it's more than one way to skin a cat. So I think that's really cool. Just continue to share that and encouraging more parents and families.
Well, if I'd have won a championship, I probably wouldn't have played 15. I was chasing a championship. Both of y'all got rings, don't y'all?
I know.
Oh, you missed it. I know you got one. I know. I thought you had one, too.
He a jerk, though.
He always tries to rub it in my face that I don't have a ring. You know what I'm saying? I thought you had one too.
I've been to two.
Oh, yeah. I've never been to one. I don't think I've ever been out of the first round of playoffs, you know? So it's just a different grind over here.
As soon as you said that, I was like, I know we're all going to say something.
I think I went to the playoffs like every year in my career.
Oh,
three,
must be so nice. Yeah. Must be, yeah, man, Drew back the there. Question? Got a nice Drew. Yeah. What do you think, Drew? Why don't you give him a shout out?
He got that ring for you. He didn't do nothing. He ain't make a tackle. He ain't did nothing. No forced fumbles.
Yeah, you went check that. You got to have something to come back.
He ain't do nothing.
I like it. I like that the room's light. All right. I got a fun question for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Do you remember your first NFL sack?
Yeah, it was Seattle Seahawks. Okay. That 2008, that was Hasselbeck.
No? Okay.
Because I was with him. Yeah. He served on the EC too, so I used to always tell him, yeah, he was my first sack.
Okay. Did you have a dance or did you like...
No celebration. Do you know my...
Who was that? Was that Gibbs still? No, that wasn't Gibbs. That was Zorn.
Okay, it was Gibbs.
But we had old school coaches. So we had... you had him. Greg Williams.
Oh, yeah, Greg. Greg off the chain.
Yeah, and then we had Greg Blosch. I don't know if you've ever been around him.
I've been Blosch.
Oh, yeah.
I had Blosch.
Did you have Blosch, too, in Chicago?
Yeah. My rookie year.
So, you know what?
That's where I came from.
So, I'm not doing nothing.
Yeah.
You just
trying. Undrafted. I'm making play. I mean, I'm going right back to the huddle, head down. I didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
He have you worried in practice over some steps, man. Oh, my gosh.
Blosch was, yeah.
Blosch and then Greg, I didn't have to deal with him as much, but he was insane. The up downs, y'all do the up downs drill.
Yeah.
Up down, run and go get a cone. You didn't get the cone.
Yeah.
Got to do
pursuit
the
drill.
Pursuit. Man, what is this? Yeah, we had guys tear ACLs trying to die for that cone.
Yeah, we had. Yeah, because it was 3 guys and 2 cones.
Yeah.
So it was like, whoever ain't out, boy, you got the 10 up downs over there with the up down cone.
Right.
It
was. Everybody want to do that?
Yeah, it was. It was cats pushing people in the back.
It was bad.
What was your welcome to the NFL moment?
Oh, man. Welcome to NFL moment. Man, I don't know. I don't know. That just threw me all off right there reminiscing about Greg.
Yeah. Greg was...
But he probably was my welcome to NFL moment, man. That craziness, over there, man. That was insane. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll just call it that drill.
Did y'all have to do 40 up downs to like
yes,
buy
to get in?
Yeah.
Yes.
So to be a part of the defense, you had to do 40 up downs, like first day of training camp. So it's like 40 up downs.
He's setting the tone.
And so, but in 2009 when we won the Super Bowl, we were like bringing in guys during playoffs just to like get us a good up down day because cats is dead. Different individuals after that. No juice. They done. They done. So we bringing in cats off the street, just like 40 up down. See what they gonna do, bro? It's bad. It was. But I'm just glad I was not the only one that had to do that.
Nah.
Like this wasn't just us. This was.
Nah.
You had to get them too.
Right. Yeah. For sure. You know what? As you remember that. Big Leonard Davis, Gerard, having to play one technique and talking about having good technique, trying to stay low on both them boys, low, dip the shoulder and the double team, and all you doing is just moving backwards. That was probably my welcome to NFL moment. That just kind of popped
Leonard
in my
Davis,
head.
Big dude.
Big, but both of them dudes. Oh, and they had Columbo out there. That was just a different offensive line type of era when you just had all them dudes from team to team.
I was with Columbo in Chicago.
But Leonard had to be like 400 pounds. And just trying to hold a double team against them dudes and not have great technique and not be able to do anything until they decide to let you go, that was pretty...
Leonard got me in college one
did
time.
He? Oh.
I was about 180 pounds and he just threw me like a grape. Just a big man.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Scary.
Massive individual.
All right, go ahead.
Nope.
I got the. Mm-mm. I got mm-mm. one. It's going to be, I guess, kind of serious or make him think for a second.
Yeah, I know. That's why I say go.
Okay. We like to ask this to all of our guests. We ask them about their Mount Rushmore. Who is their Mount Rushmore of influence on your life?
Oh.
Your experience through football, life, all of that. You got four. And it's
I think
your
I
freedom.
Know two of them already.
All right, but.
My uncle. Steve, yeah. I mean, my mom is there too, but as far as football, she's more life. But my uncle for sure, London Fletcher would be two. Man,
why London? I know the bio, but I want to hear the listeners let them know.
So obviously, London is probably. I mean, he should be in the Hall of Fame by now.
Yeah.
But one of the greatest linebackers to ever play this game. I think he got 16 years in.
Yeah.
Won a Super Bowl. Went to another one.
Got like 8,000 tackles.
Right. I mean,
he's the deepest cover two linebacker I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just playing over the top.
Just athletic, fast, strong,
very
just
smart.
Very intelligent. Probably the only player I think could have called the defense and then played at a high level and been very effective doing both. Man of faith. And then when I was in Washington, if you've never played for Washington, our facility was in
Ashburn.
It's near Fairfax, Ashburn. And then our stadium was in Landover, Maryland, and we used to stay in like PG County, and so that's an hour from Ashburn drive for home games, and then probably another 30-minute drive to our stadium on game days. And he was one of the guys that I would ride to the game with every week during the season. We used to have some real conversations about life. And he went to John Carroll as a hooper, you know, transitioned to playing football. I mean, he had some family dynamics that he just learned from and overcame and just learned about that and how he became, you know, his marriage and then married his wife that he's with now and developed his family. Just some real, just good life stuff that you learn about how to be a man within this craziness of the NFL. And so that's why, you know, London is way up there, you know.
He's a pretty good golfer too.
Yeah, I know. I need to get with London, man. He's one. You ain't gonna never beat me, Zoe. It's all right. I'm coming. I'm working silently right now on Phoenix, though. So I'll be out there. I'm gonna come out there and let you know when I slide through.
We got each other's number.
So who wins all the time with you?
We have not played against each other.
Oh, okay. He's scared or you scared?
I'm probably
I think he's scared.
He not that good, though. He good, but he not that good.
Okay.
But I still call him when I need a lesson.
Yeah. But I'm working silent. Who else is on that Mount Rushmore? I would say Danny Smith, special teams coach. He's with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. He really gave me my first opportunity to play on teams and just taught me a ton of stuff. And then, man, I mean, there's just so many other guys that's right there. I can say Chris Samuels, probably Mike Sellers, other big bro, fullback, right? Another special team demon. You know, he was 295. His 295 looked different than mine, though. He was rocked up, solid, you know, looked like a little bodybuilder out there. So he'd probably be my fourth as far as just teaching me again the game and then life and then hanging out with him and growing up with him a little bit in the league, too. So those are probably my top four guys. It's a ton of other guys that I probably left late in my years. You had Leslie Frazier too in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy being around Leslie Frazier as far as, you know, just, he's a man of faith as well.
Liz is a good dude.
Yeah, and just working, you know, helping me cultivate my leadership and later in my career and what transition was going to look like when I got done, on top of just being a just an awesome dude and being around and playing football for it.
Yeah. Well, hey, man. We appreciate you coming on.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
I know you got in like hella late.
Yeah, I didn't want to cancel on you guys, you know though, man. So you know,
I appreciate that. Yeah,
if y'all didn't play ball, I'd have been like, man, I'll see y'all later, man. So
we appreciate that, though. Like, I really appreciate. I know flight delayed. You got in at 3. We got the 8 a.m. So you still came in. And
for sure, for y'all. Hey, good.
I think you're riding with us over. We going to Philly later on to go to films, do some more stuff. So, yeah, we appreciate you.
And, always.
All right, man, go get a nap, dog.
Yeah, I'm going to go get some. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a couch somewhere in here, right?
It is.
We appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, all right. Appreciate you guys.
I don't know why you drink that coffee. You finna be up now.
No. This is just something that is to keep me right.
All right. Appreciate you. Hey, I'm Peanut. That's Rome. That's Zoe. This is the NFL Player Segments Podcast, and we out.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.